T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Trollo and Dibs, turn the game on.
I love this.
Probably too much, love it. Quite frankly.
Let's keep it going here on a Wednesday. Jolo and Dibs. Why are you chuckling, sir?
We love because he doubled up the grunt from my sister. He hit you with the double up. And my phone will be blowing up in about 30 seconds because she is one of the billions. She'll give you 4 hours each and every morning. Loves you, Coz, my sister we're talking about.
She's so fabulous.
Yeah, she's available, by the way, for all of you single guys out there. The Caner, single and ready to mingle.
And about the happiest person you're ever going to meet. My goodness.
Yeah.
Infectiously happy.
My childhood's on the phone.
Oh, wow. There we go.
God, now can that woman coming. Take a punch?
It's all coming around. Thank
crazy.
You, Nick. All righty, let's keep it going on Jolo and Dibs. You can join us, 888-957-9570. That is the text line as well. Adrian Wojnarowski out with a series of tweets having to do with the return of the NBA, a 22-team return to Orlando, 13 Western Conference teams, 9 Eastern Conference teams, 8 regular season games per team, a play-in for the 8th seed. The season will last from July 31st, and if it's Game 7 of the NBA Finals, it will go all the way till October the 12th. They will vote tomorrow. The ownership groups will vote tomorrow. But the end of the Adrian Wojnarowski tweet is, the NBA's back. At least if we take that last line, the NBA's back, low, how happy are you to hear we have a definitive plan and a date and a number of teams and a location we will see NBA basketball?
I am very, very happy. I am elated. I think that everyone is. I mean, you want to see NBA. When you get a Rose bomb and he say, it's back, man. He hit the Michael. That just goes to show you that he was one of those guys that watched The Last Dance. The NBA's back. Michael, when he came back, I'm back. And that's huge. It's huge for the NBA. It's huge for the fans. Hey, I am excited about it. It can't get here fast enough because we want to see who's going to be crowned. It's so many moving parts this year. It's so competitive, the NBA that is, and there's a lot of good teams right now at the top, so I'm looking forward to it.
Steven, do we have anyone at 888-957-9570 who wants to chime in on all this?
Yeah, we got Dennis and Capitola.
Capitola, Dennis, welcome in. Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. How do you see this NBA return?
You know what? I'm happy the NBA is returning, but I got to agree with Dibs here. Let's say you waited at a restaurant, 5-star Michelin restaurant. You're waiting for that Wagyu beef.
Right.
He chef comes out, trips, serving you the wilted lettuce, soggy croutons. That's like, you know, Giannis going down early in these games. Let's just get straight to the Wagyu beef, please. That's what I came here for.
The good people of Capitola, my man Dennis. I know it was hard to agree with me because people are always reluctant to do so, but thank you, sir, and thank you to all the good people in Capitola and all of your great deeds.
Let me just say, Dennis, when we're no longer sheltering in place, we're coming down there to party with you, brother. He makes a good point. I'm a filet mignon guy. He took it to Wagyu beef. That changes the meal. That changes the view of the NBA season. But, Dibs, would you rather that just 16 teams came back, let's let them practice and scrimmage for 2 weeks, and then, boom, playoffs get started. 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5, move it forward.
Yes, and that to me is keep it simple sports. It's just doing what you've always done. And these are extraordinary, unprecedented times. And I also want to echo
you were hit at parties. I imagine that, Dibs.
May I? May I continue?
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Please.
I was about to echo what you said, Lo, about the enthusiasm and the joy with which I'm anticipating the return of the NBA. Now, as we get into the actual brass tacks, as we break it down on how they're going about it, that's where Dennis and I and the good people of Capitola in general, we think that you should go in a different route. So, yes, Jim, for me, just go 1-8. You can have the Eastern teams have scrimmages against the Western teams, practice games. You could have Giannis and LeBron, and ooh, this could be an NBA Finals coronavirus preview. It's a preseason game, so get out there and just go up and down, play some basketball, then get into actual playoffs that, when we look back historically at this strange time, you're not going to have to look at Phoenix as a 13 seed. Was Phoenix a playoff team, even though they were a 13 seed? They went to Orlando, but then they went 3-5, so they didn't make it to the play-in tournament. And actually, the play-in tournament didn't happen because no team got within four. So were those teams playoff teams as well? Keep it simple,
sports. But they feel Dibs, they got to fulfill the dream that they thought that they had.
Stop.
You know about those dreams when you're a young boy. It was a dream. They're dreaming. Why are you going to take it away from them? Didn't you love that experience?
DeAndre Ayton dreamed not of love being a 13 seed and getting into the playoffs. Come back next year and fulfill your dream.
But Dibs, wouldn't these games help them come back next year?
Yes.
For these teams coming back,
yes.
Just the competition creates the edge that maybe helps them become just a little bit better and a little closer to the playoffs next year.
And Coles,
if I may borrow from the Bible, the Lord helps those who help themselves.
That's actually not in the Bible.
Ballpark.
It is a good saying.
I'd like you to prove me wrong that that's not in the Bible, by the way. But anyway.
I really believe, Dibs, that a lot of people don't want to see Giannis and LeBron practicing, going at it, warming up. They don't want to see Kawhi and LeBron. They don't want to see Kawhi and, in these different teams right now, because it's a part of playoffs. Players don't want that. They don't want to have to show their hand. So that's why they want to do it the way that they're doing, Dibs, because now it's more serious. When you just say, oh, just let them warm up, play some practice games, inner squad, and yeah, you're going to be holding back. I get it, but it won't get you to the play at the level that you need to play at. And then you're going to give teams opportunities. So I don't like it. And I guarantee you, the players don't want it their way, Dibs. I'm telling you, they don't want that.
Let me ask you this.
That's why you let those other teams have the play in. And then when the playoffs start, they start. Let the teams let them play and practice, do the things they need to do. Playing at some other teams, but I don't think they want to do it with you the way you want it to happen, Dibs.
Let me just ask you this, Lo, because
please.
Milwaukee's in a unique situation where they're 53-12. They've got a 6.5-game lead over Toronto. So these two teams are both going to play 8, quote, regular season games. Toronto has almost no chance of surpassing Milwaukee and being the number one seed in the East. So what is Milwaukee going to be doing with these 8 games? You think that they're going to be grinding out 37 minutes for Giannis Antetokounmpo so they can make sure that they're able to squeeze out a win over the Washington Wizards? They're going to throw these games in the wastebasket because it's not going to affect their seed at all. So you're just adding to the problem the NBA already has, which is too many meaningless games, except now we're going to package these as, you know, hey, 8 regular season games and a play-in tournament's looming. How many of the teams that are going to play these 8 games are actually going to treat these games like must wins?
But here's the deal. 24-minute Giannis Antetokounmpo for 8 games gets him ready for 37 minutes or 35 minutes in round 1, 37
right.
minutes in round 2, 40
right.
minutes in round 3, 44
right.
minutes in round 4. That
right.
to me is what they need these 8 games low for their bodies, not for their playing standard. The other teams need it for their playing standard, and their bodies are just going to have to take the beating.
Absolutely.
That sounds safe.
And Dibs, you know, you can't disagree with that, though, right? Dibs didn't he lay it out the way these guys got a minute.
You can't disagree with that,
minutes.
Dibs.
The
right?
way
Dibs
he laid it out actually bolsters my point, because what he described, Lowe, was preseason games. And that's exactly what I am advocating. Let Giannis play 24 minutes in a meaningless game. But when you say this game means something, what if Milwaukee plays Giannis 24 minutes and it happens to be against a team that
like
then
Washington.
Beats Milwaukee? Or, yeah. you know, let's just say that it's Milwaukee, or let's just say that it's
sure.
it's Washington, or whatever team can somehow get a win. So Portland plays Giannis. Giannis only plays 24 minutes, and Portland wins. Well, the next game, Giannis plays 32 minutes against New Orleans, and then New Orleans loses. That's not fair, because Milwaukee's treating it as a preseason game.
Hey, Dan, I know this guy who's dad.
And the other team is treating it as a regular season game.
I know this guy who's got a dad who every time he said that's not fair... He said, nobody said it has to be fair.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. But
okay.
what it has
nice
to be,
coast.
Jim, is genuine.
Nice
it has to
coast.
Be authentic.
Jim,
you're creating a system where you've got, whatever, you know, it's not going to be fair no matter what, because you know,
it's
home
nuts.
Court advantage. These teams don't have home court advantage. So
Portland
why are we
wants to play, Dibs. Portland
we're putting
wants to
false
play.
Import on preseason
no.
games. We're going to
no.
treat these games, the players are going to treat them as preseason, yet the league is making you think that these games actually matter. It's a disconnect.
But Dims, you know that Dame wants to play. He's right there. He heard what he said publicly. They're getting ready. And you said, hey, but the Raiders earned that spot. You said that, and that's what, but we knew what the outcome was going to be because the Raiders, but they still earned the spot, despite not having a quarterback that was hurt. Dame's saying the same situation, but why wouldn't you give him the same latitude as you gave the Raiders?
I'm
because
giving him the same
got,
latitude.
Hold on, Dibs. I let you finish.
Well, I thought you were
let
done because you had to swallow some food because you're probably
yes.
eating on the job.
I'm not eating anything. No, I was drinking coffee, if you okay. must. No. And I swallowed. Okay, excuse me, Dibs. You swallow and cough and do that stuff all the time. Do I call you out on yours? Okay. So with that being said, Dame believes that he's getting his guys back. He's getting his center back. He's getting his big man. So they believe they can compete. So now you want to just poo-poo on that and say, oh, it's not worth it because they're not going to win a title. It's not winning a title. Why do you think you had the playoffs? You never have you seen the eighth seed go and win it that we believe or beat the number one seed. But did you ever see them just winning a title? But yet still, you want them teams now to say, oh, they ain't going to win. So not have the playoffs. Just get the best three teams and let them do it that way.
May I?
Listen.
May I interject?
The NBA's...
Well,
go ahead. Interject. Yes, please do.
You're taking my point and you're convoluting it because the point I was making was the teams like the Lakers, 5.5 lead over the Clippers, they do not have the same incentive to go out and compete in these regular season games as Portland does. I'm not poo-pooing Portland. I'm not saying that Dame doesn't want to play. New Orleans and Portland, Sacramento and San Antonio, they're going to play as hard as they can to go out there and win these games to get into the play-in tournament and keep their dream alive. The point is, these other teams aren't going to treat it the same way. The Lakers and the Bucks, the Clippers and the Raptors, these teams that are already secure and solid in there, they're not going to treat these, quote, regular season games the same as these other teams.
Agreed. I totally 1,000% agree with you. But, Dibs, here's the point that you're missing, and this is why I can't believe I know what you're saying. Can you just understand what I'm saying, too? If this was the regular season right now and the season was going right now and the way the Lakers and where these teams are, they would because they seem they're in first, they're five games out. They're not going to. They're just saying, let's just hold on to first. They're not going to be playing like that anyway. If they're going to be, but Dame and those guys, no matter what, if this was a regular season, whether it was a whole season, whatever it was going to be, they still would be playing with more emphasis because of the fact, with it's more urgency because of the fact they're out. So you're right. Milwaukee, still, if the regular season was in, they're eight games out, they're eight games up, they still wouldn't be playing the regular season the same. But the other teams that are on the outskirts would be playing harder and they would probably beat. So I'm with you. But you're missing this whole point, what we're doing. So are you a little bit better now? Did I clear it up before you a little bit more?
No, it was cleared before, and I'm not missing the point. I just disagree with the point and the idea of having these games be regular season games when not every team is going to treat it as a regular season game. That, to me, creates a competitive, disingenuous
situation. But they win anyway,
situation.
Dibs. That's all I'm saying. They wouldn't either. So the teams that are out in front, like you just alluding to, they would treat it the same, Dibs. I get what you're saying. I get it. You're right.
Well, additionally, I mean, who is
just
Milwaukee
say yes,
scheduled?
Lo. Just say you're right, baby.
You're wrong.
Say I love you, Lo.
I do love you, but I just completely disagree with you on this point, because who was Milwaukee scheduled to play for the remainder of their games? You know, you look at their schedule, and it's not going to be the same teams that they're going to play in Orlando. So you're already convoluting the schedule in whatever way you see fit. So depending on how they want to schedule this, you could stack it to where, all right, we want to make sure Zion's in. So the Pelicans aren't going to play the Lakers or the Clippers. They're not going to play any of the good teams. We're going to have New Orleans play Sacramento, San Antonio, and Phoenix. That way we can get New Orleans in there. It's cockamamie.
I see.
Well, here's my, you know, the fairness part of the whole thing. The NBA season is the same way. We see guys use the term load management throughout the year.
Thank you.
And there are nights where guys choose to take it off. It just happens. It's not fair. On a night in which you thought you were going to see LeBron James play, but he just isn't able to go. Now, he's not a horrible... Listen, LeBron James, when he plays, no one's questioning his effort. No one is questioning. But the idea of load management, I think, stings for people. And we see that in a regular 82-game schedule that is uninterrupted by a global pandemic. For
right?
this to not be fair, we get it. It's an imperfect scenario.
We get it, Dibs.
There's no win in anything they choose to do. If they have just 16 teams come back, they're going to have 14 other owners who are upset. They have 22 teams coming back. They have 8 owners who are pissed that they don't have their guys down there playing in some way, shape, or form and try to figure out they're going to get all of their regional television money and how they're going to get their guys to play and compete for the future, how they're going to be able to keep their team in the spotlight. They're going to go 12 months without playing. It's unfair. But the NBA had to make a decision, and apparently, according to Woj, this is the decision they're going to make. But we add another question to this. Lo, this is directly at you. When we crown a champion sometime on or before October the 12th, that's how long the season could go if they play 7 games of an NBA Finals, this will be an awkward year, not of 82 games, not of a straight-through set. Will you want to put an asterisk next to a team that wins a championship?
Personally, no. I think you only had you got 15 games for the regular season to be would have been completed. So you can't. Is that much that would have made that big of a difference? Because we're already on. That's why this whole conversation. Look where we're at now. You just took the conversation to the next level. But think about where we were just stuck and submit for so long is because the cream of the crop right now, teams who would be playing, taking nights off, teams that they know that to lay up, they would just try to win to make sure they stay at their positions. It's no different than what you're going to see in this 16 or 22, how many ever man bracket, team bracket they decide to go on. It's not going to be any difference there. The biggest difference is, I think, when it's just open seating, where it's just the best to the worst, and the 16 teams where it's no East and West, I think that's even better. I think you get a more pure champion than you would any other way. So I think that this would be, if they do what I hope they do, I think this is the purest form of championship than the other, because now you have it seeded the right way according to their records. And now, whether it's two teams from the East, whether it's two teams from the West, I think this will be more of the pure champion.
All right, Dibs, keeping in mind that in the 50-game lockout or strike shortened year the NBA had in the late 90s.
Right.
When Phil Jackson said San Antonio's championship should have an asterisk next to it because we only played 50 games that year. Keeping that in mind, would you put an asterisk next to a champion who wins it this year?
Yes, you do, but it's just the nature of the situation and what we're all going through as a country. I mean, this entire year gets an asterisk, quite frankly. When we look back in 30, 40, whatever, 50 years, 100 years, this is going to be a year that stands out for a number of reasons. And it doesn't mean necessarily that the title isn't legit, because you played 65 or 67 games and you got yourself into a position where you could be a champion, but it is going to get an asterisk. And so is the idea of Washington and Phoenix being, quote, playoff teams. If you look back and you look at Phoenix's history as a playoff team and you look at this one and be like, that's an asterisk on their playoff berth.
It's interesting because let's say the Lakers win, Lo, you'll be celebrating, right? Your guy LeBron wins it all. It's an odd year. And there's nothing wrong with that. No, but this would be the second championship LeBron has won that was won in a shortened season. Remember the 2011 NBA Finals? That was a 66-game regular season. He won a title that year. This would be a truncated regular season, an unusual regular season. He wins it. If he does in a truncated year, should we look at those two shortened season championships differently than the full 82-game championships?
Boy, they say causation, correlation. No, this is just a fluke. I mean, no. He still took games off. I don't think you could. I don't think you can look at it that way. It is what it is. Just so happened and happened this way. So I don't think you do. And we're talking about putting an asterisk by it. Why? For what? Because, yeah, I get it. The coronavirus is here. We're still working, right? You're working, Coz. You want to get paid?
I want to get paid for the day.
I'm getting paid for the day. Dib's getting paid for the day. Yeah, it's different. Times are different. Yeah, it's we can asterisk on everything. But did we still get your job done? Did you still come out and become number one? Are you still one of the best co-hosts out there in the world, you know, Cozy? Are you still the man? Are you still who you are? Do you still have to go and work? Yes. So you can put an asterisk by it, but you're still getting a job. You're still winning. You're still performing. Dibs, you had to get up. You had to come in. You didn't necessarily come to work, but yeah, you're at your house, but you are working. So I don't know why we're going to necessarily put asterisk marks by anything, even if it's a couple games shorter this year. Because it's a corona, I get it. I understand the pandemic. So we got to always say, man, that was a tough year for everyone. But to put an asterisk because of how it's going to be formatted and all those different things, if you want to put an asterisk by something, put an asterisk by the Houston, what they did when the Astros go, put an asterisk by that, stealing signs and pounding on trash cans, the Astros. I can understand an asterisk there. But this, I don't think we need to asterisk this one.
That's a lawn dart take. It was close to the target, you know, unlike real darts when you really need to be precise. And a lawn dart, you just throw it out there and, you know, maybe you're closest to the ring and you get the point. It's a lawn dart take because
a jart.
The analogy you made about jarts. There's jorts and then there's jarts and then there's sharts. But I'm talking about
I can't believe
lawn darts.
You, Dibs. I can't win with you. I sit here and lay this out.
Please let me explain. Please explain, Roxy Bernstein, you and I are simply doing the show from a different location. It's like when a team has their stadium under construction. The Chargers still played their games, even though they played at the StubHub Center. We're still doing our shows, even though we're doing them from our home. So for you to make the comparison of a shortened season versus what we're doing, it's kind of in the ballpark, but it's more of a lawn dart take because unlike the NBA, we're still working our full schedule. You're welcome.
Fair enough. That's well done. All right. We'll continue this discussion. Maybe some more on the NFL when we continue. I know we wanted to circle back and talk about the NFC West and how tough it is. But the NBA coming out with things from Shams Charania of The Athletic and also Adrian Wojnarowski over at ESPN. So we've been kicking that around. You can always join us, 888-957-9570. The text line is the same number as well. But that's all coming straight ahead. And make sure you download the Radio.com app. You can take Joe Lo and Dibs anywhere you are. I know you might be heading off to work. Well, why don't you download the Radio.com app? You can rewind and hear some of the great things you missed, some of the great lawn dart takes, some of the coffee filter takes that you've heard from earlier today, because there's a lot of that. It seems to hold water, but it's got some seepage in it. That's all with the Radio.com app right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs, featuring Jim Cosimore.
Shut up.
On 95.7 The Game.
Really? Is that what we're going to play as our return? Me being so mean-spirited? That's not me. I'm a nice, friendly guy. Come on, Dibs. Stick up for me.
Well, I actually had requested a different Cosimore personality rejoin. Perhaps Nice Guy Steven, you can channel your inner Dibley and give the audience a sampler of what perhaps I would have gone with.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
I just was remembering images of Evel Knievel from the 70s. I'm sure
love
both of you guys remember
Snake
when
River
he tried to jump the snake. Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead, steal my vignette, Jim. Thank you, Steve.
Yes. Little call
other
back
such
24
great
hours
hits
ago.
As a suck on that.
Or, yeah, that's another good one.
You like junk? That is you like junk shots? There's a lot of good
ones. Oh, man.
You're dusting off some oldies.
You are, I know.
Oh, yeah. Oldies with goodies, Steve. Let them fly. Oh.
You know what? We're doing what we can to try and keep a smile on our faces during these certainly wild and unprecedented times. I don't know about you guys, you know, the stay-at-home stuff. You kind of run out of things to cook. Last night, on one of the hottest nights of the year, we decided to make chili for some reason. So
I don't know why that's so funny.
We're busting out the big pot of chili, you know, with the turkey meat because I'm Jimmy Healthy. But Dims, I had three bowls of chili last night for crying out loud.
Man, chili in, chili out is what the old saying is. I feel for your I feel for you, Shaka Khan. I feel for your wife, your daughters, and especially your poor commode.
Oh God, that's why I got the bidet, everybody. Go with the bidet. It's
man,
the
water
bill
skyrocketing after the chili. There's a headline in the Cozumel household.
I will say that I tend to throw in, like, my wife makes a great pot of chili, but I like it a little more, so I put a little extra garlic garlic salt or garlic powder in when I make a bowl, and then some more chili powder in. Mm. But I forgot to use – do you ever use, like, Tabasco or Cholula? You like to do that? Lo, are you a chili guy, Lo? I'm having a hard time hearing Lo.
Yeah, Lo is super low. Low volume.
He is super
low.
Perhaps, yeah, we'll try to. Let's see if we can.
Maybe we can rack that connection back. I also
said
yesterday.
I said I love chili.
There he is. Okay, good.
I love chili, but chili don't love me, Dibbers. You know, sometimes, and that's why, Cozy, you eat four bowls, you said? Man,
three.
You're eating a lot of chilies.
I'm a little. It is a lot of chili. It's turkey chili,
it's a lot
though,
of chili.
So is that healthy?
It's still chili. So it's got that, you know, that sauce and that spice. So you've been smoking it. You've been smoking a lot, dropping heat.
Smoking, dusting.
The crop dusting.
Guys, churning out. I haven't seen this many Dutch ovens since my trip to Amsterdam, babe.
Oh, well done. Well done.
I knew that one, James. That was good.
I also was in the kitchen last night, James. I'm making chicken and making a little pasta. And I actually had the oven on doing a little pizza as well. And I had the same experience. Like, what am I doing in here with the oven on and the stove on?
Sweat.
It's pretty hot here in the town. But we did eat outside, which was nice.
It's very nice outside. You know, it starts to cool. That's one of the many beautiful things about being in California, even when it is hot. And I live out in an area that gets pretty hot. It cools down nicely at night, and you can enjoy a great evening. Hey, Alo, are you a guy who adds, like, the Cholula sauce or the Tabasco or the Sriracha? Do you use
absolutely
any of those?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, Sriracha. You got to go with the little Tabasco hot sauce. It's always with the, and even with my chili, you know what I do, Jim, at times? If I'm really in a chili mood, I'll get those saltine crackers, and I'll just crumble them up in my hand. And then I'll just throw them in there, the chili, and I just mix that with the crackers. Have you ever had crackers and chili? Oh, me and my grandpa, Oliver, he got me on those crackers and saltine chili, the saltine crackers and chili. Oh, Oliver, boy, we see some chili. Coase, do you pick the bowl up when you're eating your chili at times?
I'm not going to lie. I pick the bowl because I got to get it closer to my chin.
Coase, honest to God, you know how to eat chili, boy. I'm going to tell you right, me and you could eat some chili together. I might be in your area today. I'm going to call you when I come out that way.
Dude, come on by. If you're out here, you come on by. I got the pool ready to go. We got the cover on the pool, so it's nice and warm. You can come out here, spend some time in the pool, and enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll make up some chili. I'll cook you up some chili.
There
you
we go.
You got the cover on the pool to make sure it's warm. Are we talking bath water here? Pool temperature going to be mid
80s? I'm a 90-degree guy.
Oh, you
I
are
like
not.
My pool to be 90 degrees.
Were you in the movie
I like
Cocoon?
It. Me too, Dibs. I'm with you. Hey, Cozy, I'm with you.
You get into
Jim
the pool.
Jim Cozumore in Cocoon.
Yes.
You got to be kidding me.
I like it to be 90 degrees when you get into that pool, and that's why I've got it on now. And it is going to be 90 to 92 when I'm ready to get in there and have a good time.
Good for you. Cozy, I'm going to call you. I'm serious. I'll be in that area.
Do
I have a question for you, Cozy, and Dibs, you too. Do you ever? So Coe said he'd do the crackers. How about you, Dibs? Do you throw a little bit of cornbread? Have you ever had a cornbread and chili? How about
yeah,
that, Kozer?
My mom used to make a mean cornbread. Rest in peace, Sue. And she occasionally would come with the chili, the big old kidney beans, the pinto beans.
Yeah.
That was back when I was eating meat, of course. So you got to get all that ground beef in there as well. She didn't make it too spicy, but she would roll out the cornbread.
Cornbread, baby.
Cornbread occasionally be a little bit dry. Nothing like criticizing your mom's cooking 3 years after she passes away, by the way.
Mm.
Hey, Mom, I know you're listening up there. Cornbread is a little dry.
Wow. Too soon.
You'll eat your cornbread.
It just That's dawned funny. On me. You know, it's like, I love my mom, of course, and I miss my dad and my mom both, but it's like, how do you talk about her cooking? Do I have to just speak glowingly because she's no longer here? Can you keep it real? Cornbread was a little dry. So you would take the cornbread and you would dip it in the chili. Absolutely.
Yes.
You'd hold the bowl that way when the cornbread, which, you know, invariably would crumble a little bit because, as we mentioned, it was a touch dry.
Wow.
Yes, the rest of the bread would fall in the chili bowl. I've never felt worse in my life. See, what have you done to me, Lowe?
She
got me ripping my late mother.
No, she was ahead of the game. She knew there was a little extra au jus from the chili juice. She needed a little bit more dry, you know, cakey style, you know, cornbread.
Use.
So she
you're giving me the Rob
Nen
right now. You're coming in for the save, Jim, and I do appreciate that.
Coach, you're trying.
I left the bases loaded.
Coach.
I left a mess.
Pup was a good dragon.
It was. But I have had that. I've had corn chips in with my chili. One of my daughters made chili nachos with the chili. Chili is a very good meal, but it's not a good meal when it's 98 degrees. Going on. That's when it tends to be a little bit different. And I did put some hot sauce. I did not put the hot sauce I typically do. I was going to ask the people at 888-957-9570, what hot sauce should I try? I don't need it to be, you know, like five-alarm fire, but is sriracha good or is that too spicy? What do I want to use? That's probably a good one. Anyway, we should get back to sports, right? Let's stick to sports here on Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. NBA proposal out. A lot of people talking about the NBA. They're going to vote on it tomorrow. It looks like we're going to have 22 teams coming back. We have enough time, if we could, guys. I wanted to talk about, we teased this earlier in the day, and we weren't able to get to it, and that has to do with the NFL. Peter King had his rankings out. He's got the 49ers at number 4. For Raider fans out there, he's got them at number 7 or 8, which I think is an unbelievably high number for a team that, you know, it was a near around 500 team. But the next layer of conversation is maybe one of the reasons that the 49ers don't instantly become number 2 or instantly become the best team in the NFC. New Orleans is ranked number 3, Baltimore number 2, is that the NFC West is going to be the toughest division in the National Football League. I don't think there's any question about it, guys. I think the NFC West is going to be the toughest. And, Dan, is that going to be the murderous part for any of the 4 teams in the division? Just getting out of the 16-game regular season and all the games you play within your division, all 6 tough games, physical games, that's really going to be tough and maybe a deterrent to a longer playoff run this time.
It could be, and I think that having a competitive division can help you and hurt you. Obviously, it hurts you because you have 6, as you mentioned, difficult games in the division, but it helps you because iron sharpens iron, and as you take on these good teams and you continue to win, like you saw last year, the 49ers got a certain amount of confidence as they were beginning to roll through their season with a couple early wins over Tampa and Cincinnati. Then you beat Pittsburgh and Cleveland at home. All of a sudden, you're stacking victories, and you're getting some confidence that way.
Yeah, and Coase, if you have that sheet up, round out the top 10. Is there any other teams in the top 10 in the NFC West like you're alluding to? Because I was just wondering
Seattle, you've got Tennessee 7, the Raiders are 8, then you get to Dallas is 9, and then your next NFC West team would be all the way down as I continue to scroll. The Rams are 16th, and then Arizona's 18th. So
how would you handle, Dibs? Handicap the Raiders with the. You think the Raiders are better both than Arizona and the Rams if you were handicapping that?
It just depends on the quarterback. Will the real Derek Carr please stand up? Please stand up, because he's shown an ability, and he's got new weapons. You got Henry Ruggs III. Hopefully, he's able to get over that thigh contusion from a recent move, but I like what Hunter Renfrow did in the limited time last year, and at the tight end is quietly one of the more underrated. Yeah, he's one of the more underrated emerging stars in the NFL. I think Peter King had them a little bit higher. And for me, you know, low, I'm pro Arizona. I think Arizona's a little bit too low. I actually would have Arizona ahead of the Rams on this list, not the other way around.
Totally agree. Totally agree on that one. I think the Rams are, you know, they kind of pushed all their chips into the middle those years when Goff was on his rookie deal, and they did get to the Super Bowl. But I think as a result of pushing those financial chips into the table, Dibs, I think they've lost some of that talent. And if I had to handicap the West, I might make the Rams, no disrespect to them, I might put the Cardinals over the Rams, and the Rams would be the number four team in the NFC West.
Yeah, and I actually think that the Cardinals might be the first or second best team in the division. I think Arizona's going to be a lot better.
Really?
It was one of my
he's got them at two. He's got them at playoffs. Cozy,
yeah,
he's got them
in
the playoffs.
I think a playoff team.
You fell in love with the head coach's living space. That's what you did. That's why you've got them ranked so high. Did you guys see that spread? What's the name of it? Who's the head coach for the
Cliff Kingsbury.
Why can't I think of his
name?
Did you see his spread that he's living in?
Beautiful. It was beautiful.
Holy
magnificent.
Smokes.
The windows, the glass windows. He's sitting on the couch. Oh. Like an oasis. The water. It was beautiful. Breathtaking.
Oh,
stunning.
God.
It's
stunning.
Almost like Cozy. Remind you of your house, right, Cozy? I mean, you sold your last house to who? The mayor? Kevin Johnson, who played basketball?
Hey, if someone needs I'm trying to offload a condo here. I'm trying to offload a condo here in the East Bay. If anyone needs one, let me know.
Yeah, that's the way it has to go sometimes, Jim.
Yes,
you're a real estate magnet.
That's good advice.
Exactly. Thank you. It is good advice. Anyway, the end result is on the NFC West. Wow, right. You think that much of the Cardinals, that they make that much of a leap. Is it the extra pieces that they've added? They've added DeAndre Hopkins. Is it the growth of the quarterback? What is it that you see in the Cardinals that makes you want to jump up that high?
It's the growth of the quarterback, for one. It's the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, for another, because he's a top three receiver in the NFL. You could have the argument of whether or not he's the best receiver, and I think what that does for Larry Fitzgerald, as we talked about yesterday, Larry Fitzgerald is not at the end of his career. He still can be very productive. I like the rushing attack and what you saw last year in a pretty small sample size from Kenyon Drake. I think
that was a good trade. You're right.
Yeah, without a doubt, I think the offense has improved, and they were able to add some pieces on defense as well. They closed the gap in the West much more than any of the other team. I think the Rams regressed. I think the 49ers, you can't help but think they're going to regress a little. I mean, do you guys think that 13 wins is in the cards for the 49ers this year?
No. They're not winning 13.
No.
But they're
You know what? They're going to be 9-0 to start the year. I think that they have
that
been
up?
Gifted a I think they have been
Steven
gifted
locked
a
that
very
up.
Kind start. I think for a team that was so good last year, I think that they were gifted a pretty kind schedule this year. That's just my opinion.
9-0.
I got them at 6-3 after nine. We went through the game by game, Lowe. Remember, you and I both wound up with the same record. We both had them at 11-5 as we went through game by game.
Yeah, that's Coz. That's some tall cotton there, Coz, Jimmy. And a lot though, Dibs. I'm glad that you kind of listened to my astute football analysis, because you weren't that high. Yeah, wasn't really high on Arizona, because we talked about the quarterback, and I said, trust me, seeing this kid, and you're like, he's too little. His little hands. He's not new, but one thing I can say about you. You do change. Like, you'll look at something, you'll look at it, you'll assess it, and you'll look at it, and you'll watch the guy, and you'll watch him play, and you say, okay, I'm a believer. So you have a lot of stock in this young quarterback, and I'm absolutely kind of surprised that you have come full circle on this young quarterback in his second year.
Well, how stubborn do you have to be to not listen to the words of a 16-year NFL vet, a guy who's a borderline, should be Hall of Famer? I mean, I sit here with you 20 hours a week after painful, after
Whoa,
after painful week. But I digest. Who would I be if I wasn't able to open up my ears, Jim, and listen to a guy with the gravitas and the perspective of a Lorenzo Neal?
You know what? I'm going through
you.
This. I know. I hear you. I totally. I'm down there with you. But I'm just looking at the season.
Please.
They're going to beat the Cardinals. They're going to go
opener.
To New York and beat the Jets. They're going to stay on the East Coast and beat the Giants, and they are going to want to stick it to the New York team so they get a lot more attention from that East Coast media. They're coming home for an Eagles team on a Sunday night. Eagles are good, but they're just not in the 49ers league. The Dolphins are better, but they have to come all the way out to the 49ers. Now I'm 5-0. I think the Rams are down. The game is at Levi's. Now I'm 6-0. They go to New England to take on the Patriots. It's tough to always have to fly east. But I got to be honest with you guys. I don't think the Patriots are going to be what they have been in the past. So now Did I miss a week?
7-0.
They go to. You know what?
Don't do it, Jim.
This is just like
don't
last
do
year.
It.
Going to Seattle in Week 8 is probably the first time I sit back and I go, I can't tell you that they're going to win that game. Can't tell you they're going to lose it, but I can't tell you that they're the definitive favorite in that ball game right there. So I've got them 7-0 to start.
They would win it. You had them at 9-0, Jim, and
I did. But but here's my deal.
Are we going to back the truck up on this one? Or are we?
We might have to back it up.
And what was game number 9? What was your game number 9, Jimmy?
Do a 180.
They are going to beat the Green Bay Packers because it is an annual rite of passage for the 49ers to destroy Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. It's a regular occasion for those two teams. It's just one of those things. There's death, there's taxes, and there's the 49ers running down the throats of the Green Bay Packers. So 8-1 through 9 weeks, I think, is a very fair guesstimate if you're a 49er fan. The end. Thank you.
I got them at 6-3 after 9. Philadelphia beats them at home, and I think they lose both games at New England and at Seattle. One thing, Jim, that you, and I know you're kind of a headline guy and you see Tom Brady's gone, you immediately start throwing dirt on the franchise that is the New England Patriots. But let's just have some perspective about how good the defense is. And the head coach is still there, and he's done a pretty good little job with that club. So let's not just rubber stamp road wins at Gillette Stadium so quickly, Jim.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I just think that they're a superior team, and I think that they are in their groove right now. They are in their window. They're in their Ramsian window of we have got the right guys at the right time, at the right price point, and we are going to continue our high level of play. And I just think the way the schedule lays out, I mean, you have got some dogs on this thing. Giants, Eagles. Giants, Jets, Dolphins. I think that you've been given a pretty
game
good
is going,
schedule.
It is. I see what you're
Redskins,
saying.
Redskins, dog in week 14.
I can see where you're looking at on the schedule, but I'm going to tell you a game that, you know, and Dibs has been on this team. I can honestly say you have Dibs. You can't overlook Arizona, even at home, because I'm telling you, that's going to be a track meet. You have to realize that first quarter, I can see it happening. The Niners get off hot, but it's going to be that fourth quarter, the third quarter, the second half. That kid, he's hard. I've seen you've seen trained monkeys, trained lions and tigers. I ain't never seen a trained jackrabbit. It's hard. Go try to catch a jackrabbit. It's hard to catch him. That joker, he's so elusive. And he is going to extend plays. He's going to stretch the pocket. You're playing. You don't have Buckner. He's going to give them fits. And now the secondary is going to have to cover longer. And you got DeAndre Hopkins now. You got a better running game. That game is not a layup for you guys. For us to just overlook Arizona. And I know, Dibs, you haven't been overlooking them. But just say, oh, that's a win. I don't want to see Arizona. I wouldn't want to see them necessarily the first game. Because usually in camp, you take a week or so to get in shape. People are tired. And now you're going to have to run against a very, very elusive quarterback that's going to have your defense wearing them out. They're going to come out and stretch this team. They're going to come out and go out the Niners. It's going to be hot. They're going to try to put pressure on the defense and try to make them tired second half. Niners got to be in great shape because that is going to be a very, very tough out for the Niners week one.
All right. It's an instant test for the 49ers. I still would maintain that they're I think they're tops in their division. I think they're tops in the conference, and someone's got to knock them off, and I think they're in their window of greatness and a real opportunity to do some big things. Schedule certainly gets tougher a little bit later on. They get a couple of help pieces in there. You get Washington in week 14. You know, you can't ask for a better thing. It's a little tougher when you got to go to Dallas and play in that. That's going to be a marquee game. Your final two games of the year, going to Arizona for the Cardinals, finishing at home for the Seattle Seahawks. That's a death trap right there. The end of the schedule, clearly far more difficult. Are you guys high on the Bills at all? Anything on the Bills? Because that's one of their last five games.
Yeah, where's that game's at in San Fran?
It's in San Francisco.
I like them there. I like them there.
Yeah, fair enough. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, Coz, if you look at – let's look at Dallas. Mm-hmm. Do you think that do you give New England and Dallas a bigger threat to beating San Fran than Arizona in week one?
If I look at New England and Dallas. Give me that one more time. Yes. I want to make sure I get this.
New England and Dallas Cowboys. If they said, hey, do you think those two teams have a better chance of beating the Niners than Arizona? So say if they're going to win all of them. Maybe they go – but which team to you gives them the biggest threat out of those three?
I think Arizona – wait a minute. Of those three, Dallas.
Yes.
I think Arizona's next. I think New England, the way it lays out, I think New England is the third of those three. That doesn't mean they don't have a chance, but I just think of those three. That's how I rank them. Okay.
Dibbers?
I think I would have it the same way normally in a vacuum, but I believe the Patriots are coming off a bye when they're taking on the 49ers. So not only is San Francisco going cross country, but I think the Patriots are off a bye. So that game becomes tougher than it otherwise would be.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I think New England, like you said, is probably – I think Arizona, for this reason, you got Dak Prescott going to have a new offense, new terminology. All these guys are learning. They haven't been able to learn because of the coronavirus. So you're talking about a team that's putting in a new system, a quarterback that's looking over his shoulder, hasn't gotten a long-term deal yet. So I look at Dallas as, yeah, they're a good team talent-wise. Can he catch that off? Can they learn the offense? Will he have enough time to have this offense down? Does the receivers decide to adjust all the different things? Because the quarterback usually help line guys up. This time, is he going to be able to?
All right, we got to run out. We're running out of time. Thanks, Tom and Free. Thanks, Lorenzo Alexander. Joe Lowendibs back tomorrow for Dan Dibley and Lorenzo Neal. I'm Jim Cozumore. Bonte Steiny, Guru, on the way right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.